Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we explore the amazing world of science. Science that impacts on your life. Science that changes the way you view the universe. Well, with us today once again is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, one of the founders of Skeptics Magazine, who has a new book out. The book is called Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. So today we will be talking about aliens, flying saucers, psychics, talking to dead people, Loch Ness monsters, and all the stuff you see on television. How much of it is real? How much of it is testable, reproducible, or falsifiable? We'll find out by talking to Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society. And also, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or my Facebook site. We have 5 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 5 New York Times bestsellers. The latest New York Times bestseller is about what I do for a living. The book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. And it summarizes the last 2,000 years of investigation into the universe ever since people asked the question, what is it all about? Where did it all come from? Where is it all going? We'll find out. The book is called The God Equation. It's about string theory, which is what I do for a living. That's why I get paid by New York City to work on string theory. And you can find out more by getting the book, The God Equation. But today with us is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. So, Michael, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Nice to be back and talk to you again, Michio. Always a pleasure.
Okay, well, the first question for you is, what is the book about? Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist.
Yes. Well, this is a collection of my best articles and essays over the past decade or so, mostly focused on free speech, open inquiry, the principles and values of science applied to everything. That is to say, none of us are omniscient, and we all may be wrong on most things. So you need to talk to other people that disagree with you. You need to have your hypotheses and your theories and your guesses open to disconfirmation, to falsification. You need to be willing to test your hypotheses and have them debunked and refuted. And that's the core of science. That's what's made science so successful, is because not that scientists are better people in terms of critical thinking or objectivity or rationality. They're like everybody else. But the system itself is set up to weed out the errors better than any other system ever developed. So that's the core of the book. I do deal with a lot of big topics, the stuff that you and I like to discuss on, you know, psychics and ESP and UFOs and those sorts of things. But the question underneath all that is, well, if those things aren't true, if people can't actually talk to the dead, or if astrology doesn't actually work, then how do you know anything is true? Why should I assume string theory is true, or that the multiverse is real, or, you know, that quantum physics is real? How do I know that? And, you know, because I don't know anything about quantum physics or string theory, so I rely on the system of science itself with its checks and balances. to give me more or less confidence in a claim that somebody makes if I know that they've been subject to the scientific testing process, that they've been subject to debate and disputation and challenges and falsification. And if their theory still stands, even though I don't know anything about it, I can be reasonably confident that the system itself is working fairly well.
So you would disagree with some people on college campuses who want to cancel certain speakers if they talk about sensitive issues. You would say let a thousand ideas blossom, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Now that doesn't mean that universities are required to bring in, you know, any and every speaker. There's only so many people you can bring in a semester or a academic year. But if you're going to have you know, liberals, then have some conservatives. If you're going to have people that believe X, have people that believe Y. Let's say you have a pro-choice advocate speak on campus. Well, you should have a pro-life advocate speak on campus. Now, in that case, I'm very critical of the pro-life argument, but I still think they have good arguments and that people need to know them. And, you know, this is like John Stuart Mill's famous line, he who knows only his own side of the argument doesn't even really know that. You don't really know how good your argument is until it's been subjected to somebody who doesn't agree with it. You know, what are their arguments against your position? You know, what are the best pro-life arguments in the abortion issue? What are the best pro-choice arguments? And, you know, our next issue of Skeptic is on that very subject. I solicited a pro-life argument article, a long one, and I edited as best as I could to make the arguments as strong as possible because half the country believes that. So if you don't know anybody who's pro-life or Republican or who voted for Trump or whatever, then you're living in a bubble because, you know, millions of people hold those positions and voted for that person. And so if you don't know their arguments, how good is your argument for X, whatever that is? So, yes, just expose students to lots of different positions.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's on television. If you just open the TV, you have all these psychics and people who have magical powers of telepathy and stuff like that doing all these fantastic feats. For example, you've all seen people talking to dead people, and it makes great television. At the end, people start to cry and cry because, yes, their dead father, their dead mother has now contacted them. But how does that work? I mean, it sounds so realistic on TV, right? But how do you do it? How do you talk to dead people?
Well, first of all, people talk to dead people all the time. I mean, you go to a cemetery and you'll see somebody at the grave of their loved one, and they're talking to them. I do that with my mom, say, for example. But do the dead talk back? That's the question. And according to some of these psychics who talk to the dead, yes, they hear voices from the great beyond. And, okay, how does this work? Well, this is what we call cold reading. That is, you literally read somebody cold. In this case, it's usually a room full of people. Everyone who's in attendance has lost somebody, so you know there's a good chance that if you give a general question, like, I'm getting a strong father figure over here on the left side of the room, and then you'll see several hands go up. Well, this could be a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a friend of the family, you know, and so you're bound to get some hits right off the bat. And then you just ask a lot of questions, and the people who are attending will volunteer all kinds of information, and you just take credit for getting those hits. And they will conveniently forget all the misses. You know, I'm getting a Mark or a Michael or a George or a Ralph, or, you know, and you just rattle off names, and if you get close, they'll nod and give you a hit for that. And conveniently forget all the misses, the names you rattle off that were not true. And then most of them are general. They rarely say, they'll say something like, he wants you to know he loves you, or she wants you to know she forgives you, and the kinds of things we all would like to hear. But they're never specifics, like, you know, she hid the jewelry under the floorboard in the, you know, southwest corner of the bedroom. Go pull up that and you'll find the jewelry there. It's never anything like that, right? Very specifics that you could test.
Okay, Michael, we're going to have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion with the executive director of the Skeptic Society, Michael Shermer. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8255. 8135 if you want to get on 100 radio stations and the internet that carry Science Fantastic. So give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, one of the founders of Skeptic Magazine, and he's the author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. Well, where we last left off, we were talking about psychics. The fact that on television they make great TV impact, because you say to yourself, how do they do that? How do they do that? Well, let me ask you a question about synchronicity. Sometimes you're thinking about John or Jane, and the telephone rings, and there's John or Jane on the line. And you say to yourself, I'm psychic. I was thinking about John, and he telephones me. Well, what about synchronicity? What about all the misses? Tell us a little bit how the brain is actually susceptible to believing in things like synchronicity.
Right. We notice the hits. We forget the misses. We don't keep track of all the possible data points that could be scored and whatever it is you're looking for, and just seek out and find those ones that are meaningful to us. So just picture a 2x2 grid in which in the upper left corner are the hits. That is to say, you were thinking about somebody and the phone rang and it was them. So that, of course, gets our attention. And then the upper right one would be all the times you were thinking about that person and they didn't call. And then the bottom left one would be the person called and you weren't thinking about them. And then the bottom right one is they don't call and you're not thinking about them. So we have to keep track of all of the times, all of the data in all four of those grids, and then ask ourselves, is that upper left one where you were thinking about the person and they called different from the other one, statistically speaking? And when you do that, the answer is no. And you could apply the same principle to, death dreams. You know, I had a dream in the middle of the night that my grandmother died, and the next morning my mom called and said, oh, bad news, you know, grandma died. Oh, gosh, what time? It was like 3 in the morning. Oh, I think that's when I had my dream. But how many dreams do you have? Well, at least a dozen a night everyone has. And so that's thousands of dreams a year. And, you know, eventually you're going to have a dream about a lost loved one who died, or a plane crash, or, you know, something significant, and you remember that because you had a dream about it. But in fact, without keeping track of all the misses and all the other opportunities, it feels like it's synchronicity or some kind of psychic force, psi, ESP, whatever, but it's not. And when you imply that super simple 2x2 grid critical thinking tool, you see that there's really nothing to explain.
And also, let's talk about reincarnation. Some people insist that they or a friend is reincarnated, but how do you disprove that? How do you disprove when someone says that they are Julius Caesar or Cleopatra reincarnated? How do you subject that to scientific investigation?
Yeah, that's hard because these are, by definition, one-off events usually. And, you know, it's not like you can run a controlled experiment. But we can ask some critical questions like, you know, why is it that people always seem to come back as somebody famous, Napoleon or Marie Antoinette or Julius Caesar? You know, in fact, 99.9% of everyone who ever lived, you know, there's about 100 billion people have lived and died before the 8 billion alive today. You know, if you were going to come back as somebody, you'd most likely come back as some dirt poor peasant living in a mud hut somewhere. You know, the chances of being Julius Caesar, Napoleon or whatever is just so low. But then there's also the kind of population problem. And I mentioned the 100 billion people. Well, if old souls are inhabiting new bodies, and there's 8 billion people alive today, and 100 billion people lived before, where are all the other 92 billion souls if they're not inhabiting a body today? And by the way, the people that are alive today, don't they have their own souls? Their own personality, their own memories, their own self? And what happens when somebody from the past inhabits the body of someone in the present? What happens to their current soul if the old soul is taken over? Or do they have more than one soul? So the moment you start thinking about it, it's absurd. You know, I understand why people want to think, you know, this is not the end. Of course, that's what drives Western religious beliefs in heaven. But that doesn't make it true.
Okay, well, you mentioned sleep. There's something called sleep paralysis, when you wake up in the morning and you're paralyzed. And some people think that that's suspiciously like alien abduction. So tell us a little about what is sleep paralysis.
Right. So sleep paralysis is a kind of lucid dream where you're, it almost always happens in the middle of the night and you wake up in your dream and you feel like you can't move. Now, part of that is just a physiological thing. When you're deeply asleep, when you're in deep REM sleep, your body is super relaxed. It's flat, and you feel like this is why people have floating or flying dreams, because, in fact, the body is in that kind of soft, floaty position on a soft mattress, and the brain is interpreting what that information means. And so it's not a far cry then to go from that to I woke up and I felt like I couldn't move. And some small percentage of the population, maybe 3%, has these kind of lucid dreams where they feel like they're paralyzed, they can't move. And then a second element is a sense presence in the room, that there's somebody else here. Now, in the Middle Ages and the early modern period, people talked about demons, incubi and succubi, coming into the room and harassing them in their beds at night. Now, we don't live in a demon haunted world today. We live in an alien haunted world. So alien abduction accounts are very similar to those of the Middle Ages and early modern period of people who thought they were being abducted by demons. And the physiological bodily reactions are very similar, and that sense presence in the room then gets filled in by what is popular in culture. And so we all know what the aliens look like now because of pop culture, television, magazine articles, and so on. By the way, before the 1970s or 80s, there was quite a variety of aliens that people thought they were experiencing and encountering. But after it kind of got solidified in films and televisions of the kind of slender, emaciated body with the large bulbous head and the almond-shaped eyes of what aliens look like now, that's pretty much what everybody talks about now, that they think they saw in their dreams. And then finally, it should be telling that these experiences happen while people are sleeping. So, you know, why the aliens are interested in contacting us only at night when we're asleep is pretty peculiar. Why wouldn't it happen during the day when I'm sitting here in my office? You know, and there they are, unmistakable. And we know that that human imagination and fantasy is quite vivid. You know, we have literature, fantasy, science fiction, fantasy, or literature to show us that we can concoct all sorts of wild things that don't exist. And so it's an easy step then to go to dreams that are inculcating these images and creating these things in the middle of the night.
Okay, also let's talk about near-death experiences. There have been a number of bestsellers, number of TV specials about people that have seen a light at the end of the tunnel just before they were supposedly dying. But the Air Force says that test pilots, when they execute a dive, blood drains from their forehead, and blood drains from the retina of their eyeball, the rim of their retina, giving them the impression that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So what are your thoughts about near-death experiences?
Right. Well, part of the key to the explanation is right there in the title. It's near-death. These people are not dead. No one who has died has ever come back from the dead, except for possibly one. If you're Christian, you believe it was Jesus. But non-Christians don't believe that. In any case, what are the chances that that's actually what happened? Well, the fact that they're still around to talk about it means they didn't die. And so when they say, well, I was told I was dead, and then I had these experiences. You can't have cognitive experiences if you're actually dead. If the brain is actually completely 100% shut down, let's say for 3 days, you're not going to have that experience. And so when you actually look at the individual cases of people that are almost always in a medically induced coma, or they've had a near drowning, or they've had some sort of heart attack, or they're under general anesthesia and they come out of the anesthesia, which happens not often, but infrequently, but it happens, and they're experiencing something right there in the OR, the operating room, and they hear the doctors, they hear the nurses, and they see things, they feel like they're floating up to the top of the ceiling, and so on. So those experiences are happening when the person is actually still alive, and they're not actually dead.
Okay, Michael, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Michael Shermer, our special guest, author of the book, Giving the Devil His Due. And if you want to be on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters in the radio station or website and the city you're calling from, and hey, maybe you will have your thoughts heard on national radio and the internet. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says he talked with the leaders of Finland and Sweden as they may join NATO.
We had a good conversation, and they expressed their interests and desires relating to security. And there will be more to report on that shortly.
He did not elaborate during the chat with reporters at the White House. Finland and Sweden are reportedly angling to join NATO after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has threatened Finland with unspecified retaliation if it joins NATO. A House panel is investigating the nationwide baby formula shortage. The Oversight Committee is pressing manufacturers on steps they're taking to address the issue. This as Republicans are accusing the Biden administration and Democrats of being late and slow regarding a response to the issue. USA Radio News. House Republicans are wanting some answers regarding the coronavirus pandemic.
GOP lawmakers sent a letter to the House Oversight and Reform Committee and Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis calling for an immediate hearing on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's COVID policies. Among the issues the Republican officials raised are the CDC's withholding of hospitalization and vaccine data, the agency use of citizens' cell phone data to track compliance, and its collusion with activist teachers' unions to undermine school reopenings.
Katie Lewis reporting from the USA Radio News Midwest News Bureau. An asteroid bigger than the Empire State Building will have a brush with Earth this weekend. NASA saying the potentially dangerous space rock will fly by our planet Sunday evening at more than 18,000 miles per hour. They describe it as potentially dangerous because it will get within 3.5 million miles of Earth. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society. Also, he's one of the founding editors of the Skeptic Magazine. And his latest book is called Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. Well, when we last left off, we were talking about near-death experiences. And the military is very interested in this. They subject their pilots to ultra-centrifuge. And when blood drains from the brain of these pilots, they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Blood rushes from the retina of the eye around the periphery of the eye, leaving blood only in the center part of the eye. So in other words, you see a bright light at the end of the tunnel. So some people say, aha, maybe that's the source of that experience. But Michael, what are your thoughts? You've talked to people, you've interviewed people, you've had dealings with people that claim they have had near-death experiences. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, first of all, as I said, the hint is right there in the title. They're not actually dead. They're near death. And there's still some cognition going on there. And so they're still capable of this. And we know that people have all kinds of anomalous psychological experiences. Just read any of Oliver Sacks's books about all the different weird things that can happen to your brain, in which people experience fantastic things that are not actually out there in the world. So that's not that unusual, or just read any of the accounts of people who take hallucinogenic drugs like LSD or ayahuasca or DMT, and their accounts of what they experience during these trips are indistinguishable from people who talk about near-death experiences. Of course, the details are slightly different. Everybody has a personal account of their anomalous experience, but the generality of it, like they're going somewhere else, some multidimensional, other dimensional place where there's these fantastic creatures or bright lights or also intense love, a sense of just intense love for your loved ones or friends. And, you know, this is a very common account. So, and of course, different religions have different kinds of details in their near-death experiences, which tells us it's more related to what you happen to believe, what your religious commitments are. And, you know, Christians are more likely to see Jesus. Muslims are more likely to see Muhammad on the other side. Everybody sees a lost loved one because they're thinking about them. And so the best explanations, the one you described is one, oxygen deprivation, hypoxia. But there's others as well. There's a lot of, you know, when you're suffering a brain trauma from a near-death experience, whether it's surgery or near drowning or a blow to the head, you know, there's all kinds of neurochemical changes that can trigger these kinds of experiences. So we think it's more likely that than that you're actually going somewhere called heaven or wherever.
Okay, and also let's say a few things about monsters. Everyone has a favorite monster they want to talk about, Loch Ness or Bigfoot or the Abominable Snowman. What are your thoughts? Have we found any conclusive, reproducible, testable evidence of a Loch Ness monster or any of these fabled creatures?
Well, that's an interesting subject, cryptozoology, because it doesn't require any new kind of physics or understanding of neurology or anything like that. There could be a bipedal primate living somewhere in the hinterlands of Canada or the Himalayas, but we need an actual body. So in biology, to name a new species, you have to have a type specimen, an actual body that everybody else can see and look at and photograph and dissect and publish in a journal and put in a museum or whatever, so that there's no question about it. But instead, what we get are grainy videos, blurry photographs, and anecdotes about things that go bump in the night. And in science, that doesn't constitute good, reliable evidence.
Let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue the discussion with Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on the air, 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
To you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. Where we last left off, well, we were talking about psychics and talking to dead people and reincarnation. And now let's say a few things about mythical creatures like Bigfoot and Loch Ness monsters. Whenever we have discussions of these strange beings, isn't it true that there has to be like a breeding population, maybe 100 of them in order to sustain the gene pool? But if there's 100 of these things, maybe they should be evidence would be everywhere. The garbage, bones, their last meal. There should be evidence of these things everywhere. But what are your thoughts about these mythical creatures?
Yeah, that's correct. You're not likely to have for centuries or thousands of years one or two individuals. There'd have to be a breeding population of a couple hundred. So by now, by chance, we would have encountered one. There'd be a roadkill in the state of Washington or in Canada of one of these bipedal primates called Bigfoot or something like that. There's another story of the great alpinist Reinhold Messner, the German who summited Everest 7 times without oxygen. This is one of the great alpinists of all time. He wrote a book about Bigfoot because he was always interested in the accounts of Yeti in the Himalayas. He heard all about them from his Sherpas, and they told him, oh, yeah, Yeti is absolutely real. So he said, all right, well, if you see one, let me know. So one morning they wake him up in his tent and go, Yeti's here, he's here, he's on the other side of the hill. So they run over there, and there he sees a big bear. It's a big Himalayan bear. He's like, that's Yeti? Yeah, that's Yeti. It's like, oh, okay. So end of story, right? So a lot of these, again, accounts could be some other creature that we already know about. And again, it's not impossible. You know, if you find the actual Loch Ness monster body floating over to the shore, you drag it up and dissect it and photograph it and so on, you name a new species, that's it. It just becomes part of biology. So instead of cryptozoology, it would just be zoology. So you have to have actual physical specimen. Again, blurry photographs and grainy videos don't count as evidence in science.
Okay, well, let's say a few things about outer space. Some of my friends that we've had on the show, in fact, broadcast, well, they like to listen to signals from alien civilizations in outer space. It's called the SETI Project. So far, they've picked up no conversation between advanced alien civilizations in outer space. But now, some scientists want to beam a message to the aliens in outer space, advertising our existence, telling them exactly how advanced our technology is, where we are located in this sector of the galaxy, how we thrive, our level of development, everything about them. Do you think that's a good idea? I think it's a horrible idea until we know the intentions of these aliens in outer space. But what are your thoughts about advertising our existence to aliens in outer space?
Yeah. I'm actually okay with it. I understand your position, which is shared by Stephen Hawking and Jared Diamond. But I think that if we make contact with an extraterrestrial intelligence who was smart enough to come here or say hi back or whatever, I think the chances of them getting to that stage of technological, civilizational level and still being like a 15th century colonial conquering monarch is pretty low. I don't think you can run a civilization that thrives on conquering and enslaving other people and get to the point of where you're, let's say a type 2 civilization where you're able to colonize other planets and things like that, achieve space exploration on a continuing basis. So I don't think you can run a civilization based on slavery and conquering other people. That's my argument. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's fun. Whatever it takes to make contact. I mean, you mentioned they haven't had a signal yet. That's right. They've also searched for signatures in the light of other star systems where there'd be something like a Dyson sphere, a giant solar panel surrounding the star to capture the energy from the star. And this would have a different light signature than a star that didn't have a Dyson sphere, so maybe that would be a hint at civilizations out there. We haven't found anything like that yet. So it's possible we're alone. I think it's unlikely, but I have a feeling they're out there somewhere, but far, far away.
Okay, well, once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku, our special guest, Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society and one of the founding editors of Skeptic Magazine, and his latest book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, 612-564-8135.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR. MDR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And our special guest today, once again, is Michael Shermer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. Well, you know, if you're a fan of Star Trek, you would like to believe that all the aliens out there are peaceful or, you know, about the same technological level as us. But what about the Borg? The Borg is a malevolent species that simply absorbs technology, doesn't really care about enslaving anybody, couldn't care less about slaves. All they want is to rob technology from other societies. Isn't that a viable way of surviving for these organisms? After all, survival of the fittest. Darwin did not say that evolution goes in the direction of benevolence. Darwin simply said survival of the fittest. But what happens if the fittest is something like the Borg, who doesn't want to enslave us? No, they couldn't care less about that. All they want is to steal technology. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting scenario. Of course, it is science fiction. So we don't have anything quite like that, although I suppose AI could take over along the lines that you said. However, we do have some experiments on Earth where there is kind of a collective community that's like the Borg. Those are called communist states, and they have uniformly failed, or those that are still surviving. You know, their people are living in misery. Unlikely that they would be able to achieve a, say, level of type 2 civilization where they're able to routinely travel around the solar system and other solar systems and so forth. I'd say it's unlikely, not impossible. Let's, you know, run all the possible scenarios and see. And I will admit you have a good argument, Michio, that, you know, given our history on Earth of one advanced civilization making contact with a less advanced civilization, doesn't look good. But that's not a type 1 or type 2 civilization where you can achieve that kind of level of technological advancement. I just think it's unlikely.
Okay. Well, some people say that the aliens are not there in outer space. They're here. They've already been to the planet Earth, and we see them in terms of flying saucers or UAPs or whatever you want to call them. And the military now has at least hours of videotapes of something whizzing around, perhaps between Mach 5 and Mach 20, using technology that seems to be beyond what we have. And the military has concluded, quote, they're not ours, unquote. So what are your thoughts now about this flood, not of eyewitness accounts that somebody says, I saw somebody last night. No, multiple sightings by multiple modes using radar, using cameras, using infrared sensors. What are your thoughts?
Right. So there's three scenarios or three hypotheses on the table that they represent just ordinary atmospheric phenomenon or other objects, which I'll rattle off in a second. The second one is that they're drones or advanced, super advanced technological space or aircraft from the Russians or the Chinese, say, and the third is that their ETIs are here. Well, so let's take those three hypotheses and ask what's more likely. Now, here I use Leslie Keene's book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record, and she says that 95% of all UFO sightings can be explained as, and here's her list, weather balloons, flares, sky lanterns, planes flying in formation, secret military aircraft, birds reflecting the sun, planes reflecting the sun, blimps, helicopters, the planet Venus or Mars, meteors or meteorites, space junk, satellites, swamp gas, mini netty, sun dogs, ball lightning, ice crystals, reflected light off clouds, lights on the ground or lights reflected in a cockpit window, temperature inversions, hole punch clouds, and the list goes on. So we have these military videos that you mentioned, the UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. So the question is, what are they? Which bin do they belong in? The bin that has 90 to 95% of these natural phenomena, terrestrial phenomena, or do they belong in one of the other two bins? So right off the bat, whatever the video is, it's 90 to 95% likely to be just ordinary terrestrial phenomena. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be one of the other two, but what are the chances that the Russians or Chinese developed technologies that would be decades or centuries ahead of us without us having any idea about that? That's not how technological development happens. Nobody gets very far ahead of anybody else. Why? Because we steal each other's secrets. We back engineer, we copy, and so forth. I mean, the Manhattan Project was the most secret technological project in the history of the world, and the Russians had our secrets within 3 years. Why? They stole them. They had a spy, right? Google, Apple, Samsung, all these companies have massive security systems in place, intellectual property rights and patents protection and so on. And yet all of our cell phones and computers are pretty much the same, whichever brand you get. So the chances that the Russians or Chinese would have developed some drone or secret aircraft that we have no idea how they work, they have a whole new physics, is very, very unlikely. And then the third scenario, ETIs. The chances of extraterrestrials coming here, through the vast distances of interstellar space is very, very low. And so I'm not closed off to that possibility, and I know you're more open than I am about that. But again, if you want, you got to have an actual physical specimen. These videos that we see, the UAPs, they're not that good. They're pretty grainy. They're pretty blurry. And even if there's coordinated with radar or something, it still could be one of these experimental aircraft. Just think with the U.S. government, of course, doesn't tell us everything that they're doing. It could be ours, and they just aren't going to tell us for national security reasons. And, anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
Okay. Well, I keep an open mind about these things. And once again, you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. Website is mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And our special guest today was Michael Schrummer, Executive Director of the Skeptic Society, one of the founding editors of Skeptic Magazine, author of a new book, Giving the Devil His Due, Reflections of a Scientific Humanist. And if you want to have your thoughts heard on 100 radio stations and the Internet, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or the website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio and the Internet. Give us a call.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.